welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Heather.
And I'm Kelsey.
And our discussion today revolves around the humorous and coming-of-age story, Margot's Got Money Troubles, written by Ruphie Thorpe. Before we get into the gist of this episode, I know you're sipping on your Annie Ann's lemonade. Did you have a coffee today?
I did. I had a nice latte today. I had cinnamon. What is it? It's like sugared cinnamon roll or something. Coffee syrup.
Oh.
With my almond milk, you know, frothed milk from my Nespresso. And then, as you said, I went to the mall to run some errands. And then I had that typical girl moment where I started like sweating in the dressing room.
Always.
And like could not figure out my clothes, and then I put my sweatshirt back on and I'm sweating and I'm frazzled and I'm so thirsty and I was like, I just can't do this. So then I walked past the golden glory of Annie Ann's and I was like, I need a lemonade. And so I have my lemonade.
Love to see that.
What are you drinking?
Right now, water. But this morning I got a brown sugar coffee from Dunkin'. I've been getting Starbucks a lot, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really on that brown sugar shaken espresso kick.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I'm obsessed. Truly. All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
So I actually pulled everything from Ruphie Thorpe's website. And it's like, it's not super long, but it's a little bit longer of a blurb than we normally do. But I really loved how she approached it. So this is how it goes. Ruphie Thorpe received her MFA from the University of Virginia in 2009. She's the author of 5 novels, The Girls from Corona Del Mar, Dear Fang, With Love, The Knockout Queen, which was a finalist for the Penn/Faulkner Award, and Margot's Got Money Troubles. She lives in California with her husband and 2 sons. That's definitely the paragraph you should use if you're trying to figure out how to introduce me at an event. Bios are really weird because you are expected to write them yourself in third person, and it always makes me feel so awkward. But I know a lot of my readers are also aspiring writers and visit this page to find out how I became a writer in case it helps them. So here is the more personal version. I grew up in Southern California, the only child of a single mom who read and still reads and writes voraciously. I was kind of an unhappy and weenie-ish kid, and books were my salvation. In my teens and 20s, I moved around a lot, going to high school in New Hampshire, attending the New School for undergrad in New York, and then going to University of Virginia in Virginia, obviously, for graduate school. I usually waited tables to make money, but after graduate school, I began teaching academic writing at the college level, and I loved it. I live with my husband and 2 baseball-crazy sons, Booker, who loves geography and obsessively reminds us all to do our Duolingo, and Gus, who is cracked at Fortnite. We have a bull terrier named Coco, who is beloved but terribly behaved. If I grew up in a female world of books and theater, I now find myself living with a bunch of stinky boys, and it has given me a love for pro wrestling, jiu-jitsu, baseball, video games, and all things internet.
I love that.
Like, I know it's long, but I like, and there was actually another paragraph that I just didn't even write because it was just a blurb, but you never see this on like websites and bios for authors. So I thought that was really creative.
Yeah. And you're
and
right.
I really
she's
liked it.
Quirky. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. And you could tell she's quirky from her writing.
100%.
So I knew she was quirky. So I love this even more seeing how she wrote about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Margot's Got Money Troubles was a nominee for Reader's Favorite Fiction in 2024 and was picked up for a television series by David E. Kelley, who did Big Little Lies and Ally McBeal, and it will air on Apple TV. Elle Fanning has been casted as Margot, who I know is the audiobook narrator.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer as Cheyenne and Nick Offerman as Jinx. Nicole Kidman has been casted as the mediator.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's currently filming, and it's expected to wrap up in May.
Oh, wow.
Soon. So I'm assuming it's probably going to air next year.
I think, Hold on. Is Nick Offerman the person I'm thinking of?
He's from Parks and Rec. He's Ron Swanson.
Yes, that's okay. Uh-huh. He's going to be good as Jinx.
Yeah. And I think Michelle Pfeiffer will be really good as Cheyenne, too.
Yeah.
So okay, it's a pretty stacked cast. But I mean, mm-hmm. it's David E. Kelly, so it's not going to be like nobodies or like new mm-hmm. people. It's going to be big actors because, you know, he did Big Little Lies, he did Ally McBeal. So mm-hmm. it makes sense. All right. So the summary of our book. A bold, laugh-out-loud, funny, and heartwarming story about one young woman's attempt to navigate adulthood, new motherhood, and her meager bank account in our increasingly online world. As the child of a Hooters waitress and an ex-pro wrestler, Margot Millett's always known she'd have to make it on her own, so she enrolls at her local junior college, even though she can't imagine how she'll ever make a living. Relatable. She's still figuring things out and never planned to have an affair with her English professor, and while the affair is brief, it isn't brief enough to keep her from getting pregnant. Despite everyone's advice, she decides to keep the baby, mostly out of being naive and a yearning for something bigger. Now at 20, Margot is alone with an infant, unemployed, and on the verge of eviction. She needs a cash infusion, fast. Also relatable. When her estranged father, Jinx, shows up on her doorstep and asks to move in with her, she agrees in exchange for help with childcare. Then Margot begins to form a plan. She'll start an OnlyFans as an experiment and soon finds herself adapting some of Jinx's advice from the world of wrestling, like how to craft a compelling character and make your audience fall in love with you. Before she knows it, she's turned it into a runaway success. Could this be the answer to all of Margot's problems, or does internet fame come with too high a price? Blisteringly funny and filled with sharp insight, Margot's Got Money Troubles is a tender tale starring an endearing young heroine who is struggling to wrest money and power from a world that has little interest in giving it to her. It's a playful and honest examination of the art of storytelling and controlling your own narrative, and an empowering portrait of coming into your own, both online and off.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So we have Margot Millett, a 19-year-old college student who has an affair with her married professor, Mark. Which, love that. And while the affair doesn't last very long, she discovers she's pregnant. Both Mark and Margot's mother, Cheyenne, who is a single mother herself, encourage Margot to terminate the pregnancy. However, Margot chooses to keep the baby, and when she tells Mark this, he just cuts off all contact with her. Which is funny, because during the affair, he's like, we'll always still email. Like, we'll always have email. You know, we can still be friends.
All of these male teachers who sleep with their students in all these books that we read are just these insecure, creepy, fragile men.
Yes.
Just like needing the reassurance.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Fragile masculinity. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So Margot has a baby boy named Bodie, which I love that name.
That's
I love
cute.
Bodie. And she lives in an apartment with three roommates. She struggles with caring for a newborn alone, which I did it with a partner. And I will tell you, the newborn stage is tough. The one thing that they didn't really touch on in this book, which was fine, is Margot didn't really experience any postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like there was no postpartum, like, anxiety or depression, which also, like, could be because of her age as well. Like, mm-hmm. she's so young. And she also has a lot going on. So maybe she can't even be depressed because she has to provide for her family. And Cheyenne refuses to help her out, which I hated this. Like, she was a single mom herself, and she knows what she went through, and to, like, not help her daughter.
Oh, I have opinions about Cheyenne.
Margot ends up losing her waitressing job due to not being able to find reliable childcare. Two of her roommates move out because they dislike the disruption Bodie has brought to the apartment because they're all in college.
Yeah, I mean, cannot blame them.
I don't blame them at all because literally, and I was an anomaly and my child slept through the night at 3 weeks old. Babies don't do that normally. Newborns are up every hour on the hour, hungry, crying. So I can't even imagine being like a college student. You have to wake up at like 7 a.m. for exam and you're just up all night because
they're a crying
child.
Even your kid. Like,
mm-hmm.
your roommate just decided to have a baby and brought it home.
I was actually shocked that was like what she did. Like, she just still stayed like with her college roommates.
And she
brought a newborn.
Didn't even think about it. She was just like, yeah, they're like, I'm still their roommate. And they were like, you better shut that baby up.
I feel like Margot is more of an action now, think later kind of character. Like, I feel like she doesn't really think things through, but like not in a bad way either. I just think that she's so young and naive. So she just thinks that this is what she's supposed to do and it'll all end up working out how it's supposed to. But the culmination of all of this leaves Margot financially desperate. She reaches out to her father, Jinx, who used to be a professional wrestler before a back injury ended his career, but she receives no response back from him. After a few weeks, she's like, I need money, because you need money. She ends up asking Mark for help, but gets contacted by his mother, his rich mother, who offers Margot $15,000 and a trust fund for Bodhi in exchange for Margot signing an NDA and never contacting Mark ever again. Wild. And it's just, like, kind of funny because, especially that Mark clearly wants nothing to do with this baby, but his mom is giving her all this money just to kind of, like, shut her up.
Yeah, and she even says that if she had known better at the time, she would have, like, she could have asked for so much more money, and it wouldn't have even made a difference to them.
No, and in reading this part, like, she was so overwhelmed when she went to the attorney's office, because, again, she's a 19-year-old girl who doesn't understand legalese, doesn't understand any of this, so she kind of gets thrown into this conference room with this older woman, you know, who's, like, the grandma of this baby, and her attorney who's just saying all these legal words, and she has no idea what they mean. And then she just kind of blacks out a little bit during the conversation.
Yeah, because...
And she's like, can you repeat that? And they're, like, looking at her like she's dumb, and, like, she's not dumb. It's just, it's very overwhelming for this
and
young
And it's not
woman.
What she expected, because she literally was emailing him to be like, hey, can I have $2,000? Like, I just need a little bit of money right now. And then all of a sudden, they're throwing this big lump sum at her. So even though it's less than she should be getting... In her mind, she's like, oh, wow, this is so much more than I thought I would get. Exactly. So, of course, I'm going to take it.
And especially coming from nothing, you know, growing up in a tough household without, you know, with much money, getting that much up front, it's a big deal. Jinx ends up turning up at Margot's apartment, telling her that he just received her voicemail since he was in rehab for heroin addiction and had no access to his phone. He offers to move into the apartment with Margot and her roommate, Susie. Margot agrees, but asserts that Jinx will need to stay clean around Bodhi, to which he agrees. It was so random that he just shows up out of nowhere. Like, I get, like, he was in rehab, so I understand. But he just shows up, and he's like, okay, I'm going to live here now. And I'm just like, what? Like, you haven't been in your daughter's life, really.
Yeah.
And now
and
you're
Margot
like, I'll just stay here.
She's so... forgiving and so go with the flow, but also, like, she's desperate for this relationship, so she lets things go. Same with Cheyenne. Like, she lets Cheyenne do the most ridiculous shit, and she's just like, okay, like, just goes with it because it's easier than arguing,
you know.
And
like,
same with Jinx.
I know, like, they need the money to pay them, and so now they can split rent, you know, three ways, and she could use the help with Bodhi for childcare so that she can actually go find a job. So I understand her being willing to have him move in. And it's a support system that she doesn't really have right now. While watching wrestling together, Jinx mentions how one of the wrestlers on TV now posts regularly on OnlyFans, the digital platform for adult content, and tells Margot how she earns a substantial amount from it. Intrigued, Margot creates an OnlyFans account for herself and explores the website, and eventually begins to put up explicit pictures of herself, and my favorite part, offers written Pokemon reviews about men's penises in exchange for money.
Obsessed.
And, like, I have to hand this to the author, because, like, she posts the descriptions that she, Margot, posts to the website, and I was blown away.
I was like, I hope she's actually selling these on OnlyFans. It's incredible.
Like, it was amazing. Just the creativity. And if you put yourself, like, in real life in this position, like, you just have this 19-year-old waxing poetic about penises. And you're like, this is insane. Like, you should be writing. This is what you should be doing.
Exactly. And you see how talented and smart Margot
is. Yeah.
And it's like,
just wildly creative.
Yeah, she ends up making the money from, you know, this profession, but you're like, oh my gosh, she has so much potential.
Mm-hmm. And she's stunned at how quickly and easily the money comes in. And it actually is insane once you become a content creator and you start to like make money off of it, how much money you can truly make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially on something that's, you know, more sexually explicit, because of course mm-hmm. that's gonna garner a little bit more income.
And something that's subscription based.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She ends up telling Jinx about creating an account, and he freaks out initially. But then he comes around and offers his support and helps Margot create a specific persona for the platform. But it was also interesting because, again, you have this dynamic between Jinx and Margot is so intriguing because they don't necessarily have a very close relationship, but they don't necessarily have like a distant relationship. Like they have some kind of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Margot's comfortable enough to tell her dad, like, I created an OnlyFans account.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could never imagine telling my dad that I created an OnlyFans account.
And also, I love how, because at first I was so pissed off that he, like, was being...
Yes, very negative about it. Yeah, like, saying how, like, what's the difference if, like, a wrestler you know is in sex work? Like, why can't I, you know, you can praise her, but I go into the same thing when I need money and you're going to judge me for it. Like, mm-hmm. what's the difference? Is it because I'm your daughter? Like, I'm not asking you to watch my stuff or look at my profile. Of course not, but you should still be supportive.
Yeah. So the fact that he came around so quickly.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
Mm-hmm. And it shows because he realized like, oh wait, I'm in an industry
mm-hmm.
where we're creating content for people, for entertainment, for people to watch. And it's a niche thing. So, and I love that he, when he apologized to her and told her that, you know, he's accepting of it and he's supportive of it, he said, you know, I'm sorry that I was judgmental originally. It was just a shock to me. But now I realize that, like, it's no different than any other job.
And exactly.
I'm going to make you as good as possible at this job. I know. And the job. Fact that,
like, not only was he supportive, but he was super helpful
mm-hmm.
in helping her boost her profile and, like, creating the relationships with, you know, other girls on the OnlyFans mm-hmm. website.
The man is definitely ADHD. When he focuses on the cleaning, that place is spotless. When he mm-hmm. focuses on helping Margot with her persona,
mm-hmm.
she better watch out because he's ready.
Oh, I know. So Margot begins to communicate regularly with a fan named JB who offers her money to answer questions about her life. And she finds herself really beginning to enjoy these conversations. And while she answers most of the questions truthfully with a little bit of a twist on them, she never discloses her real name. And I thought this was like a really interesting tone to the story because it's obviously a sexually explicit website.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never imagine that there would just be some homeboy coming on here being like, I'm going to send you $100. Tell me about your first pet.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, because at first it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Like, why is he asking me about my childhood when he just should be looking at my boobs? And then she's like, oh, he has all this extra money to just throw thousands of dollars at me.
Which he doesn't.
Which he doesn't. So it's like, of course, her initial opinion would be totally different than what it actually is.
Yeah. And it's also another outlet for her to be creative
mm-hmm.
and write these stories. Because while a good amount of these stories are real things that happened to her, she flourishes it, you know, and makes it seem like I came from wealth or I came from like a really happy family when realistically, obviously she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to like kind of twist it and make it into maybe this life that she wished she had with the same experiences she went through. So it was a really effortless way of like storytelling
mm-hmm.
again from a 19-year-old girl. I'm gonna keep saying it because it's 100%. Wild. She's 19 years old.
19-year-old mom.
Like it's just such a strong storytelling for this character. While everything seems to be going decently well, Margot gets hit with a motion Mark has filed for custody of Bodhi, and Jinx receives a restraining order, which reveals that he called Mark and threatened him over the phone. Jinx admits that he was angry about the obvious abuse of power and lack of responsibility on Mark's part in his affair with Margot. This was wild to me, and I wasn't expecting this curveball, because Mark was so adamant about, like, not wanting to be involved at all in this child's life. And so to see him do, like, a total 180, and now he's like, oh, I want custody of Bodhi.
And it's, you get whiplash just like she did. She's like, he's obviously doing this to punish me because of what Jinx did. He doesn't actually want custody. No. And then she finds out he does actually want custody. And she's like, you wanted nothing to do with him. If you had wanted to see him from the very beginning, you could have, but you acted like we didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, you made us sign an NDA that we would never contact you ever again.
Exactly. And that was, I think, what really threw me off was the fact that she signed this NDA.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, it's like, Mark wants to be... It makes you think,
who was that? Like, did he even know about the NDA? Yeah. Or was it all his mother? Like, it's just, you don't really know exactly how that came about.
I know. But then you find out that Mark is actually going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's having custody issues with his other children, with his wife. So... it's kind of like all like a retaliation of him and the situation that he's going through in part. Margot hires an attorney and attends mediation, where she discovers that Mark is concerned about her fitness as a mother due to her age and her OnlyFans work, which we knew that this was going to come up.
He is such a prick. Like, he's so fucking condescending.
Well, it's
he doesn't understand the OnlyFans. Okay, he gets past that. But the fact that he's like, oh, Margot, you just don't understand what it takes to be a parent. You don't understand how hard it is. And she's like, I do, because I've been fucking doing it for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like,
and what's the difference? Like, you fucked her when she was 19. Why can't she post pictures of herself online? Like, what's the difference? It's just very much... a dynamic of power.
And it's very much him thinking that she is stupid and can't make her own decisions, because to him, he's like, oh, you're not thinking this decision through, and you're not thinking about putting, you know, what it means to put pictures of your body on the internet and blah, blah, blah. And like, you're just too young to understand that life has consequences.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is not the case at all. Like, you are just an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Margot agrees to do a psychological evaluation on the condition that if she passes, Mark will allow her to retain custody of Bodhi and that he will only seek visitation rights. So it's also crazy for me reading any of the part that has to do with mediation and the custody, because that's literally like what I do for like a living. So I'm just like reading this and I'm like, I couldn't even imagine if this was actually like a real life situation.
And she... doesn't think anything of it, which like I wouldn't either. I'd be like, okay, it's a psych eval. Like, obviously I'm fit to take care of a child, I think, because I'm doing it.
Like, I took like this 500 questionnaire and it was like, you know, have you ever thought about this? And she's like, well, yeah, I have like thought about this dark thought once in my life, but you know, not, it was like fleeting, but I don't want to lie and say no.
And then she's, you know, she lives with a roommate and her dad, who she has no relationship with, who is an ex-addict and was a pro wrestler. Like, there's just so many things in her life that are so crazy.
I know.
And she's just like, let's see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. Margot creates a series on TikTok with two other OnlyFan creators, which end up going viral. And they bring in a substantial amount of money. I'm not going to lie to you. I could not understand what the hell these videos were. It was this quirkiness of this author, like 100%. But I was like, it's like aliens, but sexual, and there's a Roomba involved. And I just was like, I tried so hard to like picture what she was putting out in this book. And I couldn't get there. But I mean, I loved it.
I think I did, because I read this twice. Well, I read it once, and the second time I listened to it. And listening to it, I was like, this shit is so crazy, but I love it. Like, I would totally watch this if I stumbled upon it on TikTok.
I know, and I just, it was chaotic. As her popularity grows, Jinx encourages her to tell Cheyenne what she is doing, and Margot is really hesitant to do so. Her mother is now in the midst of planning her wedding with her partner, Kenny, who is extremely conservative and religious. So it's also a weird plot twist that Cheyenne's even going for a man like this, because Cheyenne's mom is like a gambler, worked at Hooters, but now she's trying to pretend like she never had this past, because I think she thinks that Kenny is like the salvation to becoming a better person just because mm-hmm. of who he is. And then she learns to find out that no, it's not like,
But when she pretends that she like doesn't drink mm-hmm. at all, and Margot's like, why are you doing this? Like, mm-hmm. it's just so obviously fake. And Cheyenne is, every time she talks about how great Kenny is, you can tell that she's trying to convince herself as well as everyone else.
Oh yeah, 100%. Margot tells Cheyenne, who is horrified and orders her to stop, which pissed me off because, again, like, Cheyenne wasn't a saint when she was Margot's age. And so the fact that she's being so judgmental, and she's all like, she's like, what did I do wrong as a mom that you chose this lane? It's absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And she is the evil person of this mm-hmm. book.
Well, it's also, I get where she was coming from originally, not wanting Margot to have the baby, because mm-hmm. she obviously wants more for her daughter than she had, because she knows how much she struggled. But now the fact that what's done is done, and now she won't even help when this mm-hmm. is her grandchild, and that she's just so against anything Margot yeah. wants to do. And she just pulls that card that she know is going to hit Margot the hardest. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm so disappointed yeah. by you. I can't believe you're even my child. Like, you're a bitch. Shut up. Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the worst parts of the story is when Margot's high school friends discover her OnlyFans account and just post the explicit photos from it all over her personal social media pages. So it's like, she gets doxxed. And after this happened, Cheyenne just cuts Margot off and like rescinds Margot's invitation to her wedding. And then you find out later in the book that Cheyenne thought that Margot chose to post this to her own website. I'm like, the mom is just being psychotic.
She's being a fucking Facebook mom.
Exactly.
Like, she's just like, well, I saw it on there and I thought that you posted it. Mm-hmm. And also, Becca, another bitch. Give me a break.
I know. This was obviously a very sad part of the book, because, you know, Margot didn't want to be doxxed. She didn't want to have like any of this stuff out on the internet. And the fact that all these people just did it disrespectfully and as some kind of like joke because they were drunk, like, it was mm-hmm. so fucked up.
It's disgusting. And anyone who does that, I mean, it's the same as internet trolls, which are normally strangers. This is even worse because these people know her. Mm-hmm. But just, you don't realize how fucked up it is. Like, this is a human being. Mm-hmm. This is her profession.
Mm-hmm. And again,
and you're just putting her in danger.
It's like, this book just proves through and through how judgmental people are about sex work.
1,000%.
But they have no problem getting access to it. And mm-hmm. they have no problem signing up for the services.
But only when it's hush, someone hush.
You know. And then it's just like you kind of all of a sudden become judgmental about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
it's because it's supposed to be this taboo thing
yeah.
that no one really talks about, but everyone does. So when a woman is monetizing off of it and making it her profession and becoming successful, 100%. But you know that men don't like a fucking successful woman. So God forbid that she's trying to actually control her own mm-hmm. narrative
yeah.
and control the image that she's putting out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they only like that kind of stuff when it's exploitative.
Exactly. JB ends up discovering that Margot lied to him about her name, and he's really hurt by this since he has developed real feelings for her. Margot explains her reasoning for protecting herself, which is all completely justified. And 100%. JB does end up like coming around, and he understands where she's coming from. And then they plan for him to come and visit her soon, which I like that. That was like a cute little thing that I didn't know if it was going to happen for sure or not. Mm-hmm. Cause you could tell like before her name is out there with in connection to her account, you can tell that Margot's like, I don't want to necessarily bring some weirdo dude off OnlyFans into my life. I have a child, which again, you have the maturity of this 19-year-old who realizes that it would not be smart to just bring some random dude into her life.
Mm-hmm. So I love how she was like the internal battle, which like all true crime girlies understand mm-hmm. is that she's like, well, it can't be that bad to just give him my first name. Cause like, he's not going to find me by my first name. Right. But then if I get murdered, then the podcasts are going to be talking about it, and they're going to be like, and she gave him her first name. Can you believe that?
I know.
I'm like, that's so accurate.
I know. So Margot starts to feel good. You know, she feels like liberated after the doxing because now she no longer has to hide from her work and who she wants to be. She feels really good about her interview with Dr. Sharp for the psychological evaluation. And so, of course, there's like this little peak where things seem to be going really well. And then it just kind of snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
So first, Margot discovers that Jinx has relapsed and has been using again. There was an incident in the book where he pulled his back and the doctor prescribed pain meds that Margot was monitoring, but Jinx was stealing from them, and which eventually turned him back to heroin. And Margot is distraught by this and obviously highly disappointed, but then she like ends up being kind of like a, I don't necessarily want to say a bigger person, but she wants to help her dad. So then they get him into a methadone treatment program, like in order to help him. And this was, again, such just a mature decision to mm-hmm. make, because this situation could have gone so many ways and you wouldn't expect it to go in this direction. Mm-hmm. But she wants to help her dad and she still wants him to be a part of her life. And yes, she's like highly disappointed and upset that, you know, this is what it turned out to. And she had to take care of him when he was high as fuck in the bathtub and had a needle in his arm, you know, and it's not fair that she needs to take care of him. This was not what she signed up for. Mm-hmm. So it was a very just another mature Margot moment mm-hmm. that I really, really, really liked.
And it's also, I mean, she definitely inherited this passion from her dad. Like mm-hmm. when she focuses on something, so she focused on the OnlyFans and then she's spending all this time writing the TikTok scripts and planning the mm-hmm. outfits and the editing and all this stuff. And she's doing so amazing at it. And then she realizes that she doesn't know anything about addiction. She doesn't know mm-hmm. how to be there for someone with addiction. She doesn't know really anything about it. And when she starts looking into it and looking into his treatment plan and looking into how they can move forward, she's so passionate about it. And mm-hmm. then when anyone questions it, she's like, what are you talking about? Like, he's trying to get better. Like,
I know.
Why are you not giving him credit for that?
She's riding so hard for her dad on this. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, he's trying to do better for himself. Like, how dare you not think that, like, just because like he has this mm-hmm. addictive past and yes, he did relapse, why is it not justified that he's in this program mm-hmm. to help himself get better and get healed?
And it's, I mean, so many times in this book, but this is a big one where it's just a microcosm of all of these issues in society, like mm-hmm. especially with drug addicts, that people want to, you know, treat them so horribly and never have faith in them that they can be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Same with people who are in jail. We want to have like these recidivism rates and people to be able to go back into society, but then they can't get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's taking all the steps to do things right. And he still can't get shit for it. And he still gets judged. And he still gets told that that's not good enough.
I know. It's very upsetting and depressing. JB arrives and Margot spends her first night away from Bodhi to be with him. And of course, she has the most amazing night with him. And then the next morning, it kind of all comes crashing down around her. Again, another scenario. She's forced to rush home because there was a surprise CPS visit. Child Protective Services visit from a woman named Maribel who threatens to take Bodhi away if Margot does not come home immediately. Maribel refuses to disclose who sent her, and she is clearly suspicious of Margot and disapproving of Jinx's history with addiction. Even though Jinx is in the program, Maribel insists that he cannot stay around Bodhi due to their policy, and she demands urine samples from both Jinx and Margot and asserts that she'll return soon. And so again, you have this moment for Margot where she just is flustered and overwhelmed, and she feels like she came across as this really bad mom for this visit. You know, and Maribel's being so judgmental. She's like, what do you, you know, do you normally spend nights away home from your son? You know, and this is like literally the first time Margot's done anything for herself.
That's the thing.
Since
the
having Bodhi, this is like the first thing that she does for herself, that she's being selfish, which every mom deserves to still live your life. You know, just because you're a mom, it doesn't mean that it becomes like your whole entire personality. You're allowed to still be who you want to be as your own human. You just have
and she did all the right things. She left her baby with someone that she trusts. Someone can take care of
him. Who's like, been taking care of Bodhi for a long time now. It's not some stranger.
Then the fact that she knows how it looks because she comes home wearing yesterday's clothes with a twisted ankle. Yeah. She smells like sex. And she's like, oh my God, this woman probably thinks that I'm out every single night.
Yeah.
Sleeping with random dudes. And like, there's nothing I can do about it. Mumu's going absolutely crazy.
Okay. Margot ends up breaking things off with JB to focus on her current situation, which again was such a big mature move. Like, she's like choosing to focus on her, you know, her son and like this situation that she was just thrust into. And Jinx prepares to move out. Dr. Sharp arrives for her scheduled home visit, which appears to go pretty well. And you could tell, like, Margot's just being herself. And it's such a simple interaction between her and Dr. Sharp. But you can tell as the reader how well Margot's doing. And Margot's doubting herself while she's there, but she's doing so well and can't even recognize that about herself, that she's doing everything she's supposed to. Like the whole scene with Bodhi and eating, and she was like, yeah, she's like, I let him play with his food, like I know, like maybe I shouldn't be doing that, which actually she should be. It's really good for their fine motor skills, like that was all I read about with babies, like let them play with their food, it helps them to like learn and to play, and it's, you know, helps to make sensory issues not become a thing. And she, but so she's, it was already in her motherly instinct to just let Bodhi do that, not knowing if that was the right thing to do. So again, stars, 5 stars across the board.
And he's obviously advanced in learning. And like,
so
he's
happy.
So happy. He does, you know, hand motions, hand signals. For more. And a lot of people don't teach their children that. So it shows that she is focused on making sure that he's where he needs to be.
Exactly. Margot ends up visiting Cheyenne to apologize and explains that she's considering giving up OnlyFans and pivoting to real estate because she is starting to realize that maybe the OnlyFans career is going to kind of hinder her with this custody situation because Maribel, she felt, was not very appreciative of it, like that being her career and just everything going on with Mark and the custody battle. So she decides that maybe it's time to switch to something else, even though she knows she's going to be unhappy doing it. And Cheyenne is, of course, ecstatic about this because now her daughter is going to be, you know,
not
someone that can be put out into society again and not have, you know, not have the Scarlet A written on her. But then she ends up letting it slip that Kenny was the one who called CPS. So the entire time you think that it was Mark or his mom that called CPS. I didn't even think. This didn't even pop into my head. And then as soon as, like, I read that, I was like, oh my God. Like, again, if you just, like, take a moment for, like, Cheyenne to put herself in Margot's shoes when she thinks back to the fact that she was a single mom raising a kid by herself that I'm sure didn't do the best things for her, judging who she is as a human. Like, you're really going to do that to your daughter who's trying to make ends meet like you did?
It's so beyond horrible. And just the fact that Cheyenne has no idea what this means.
No.
Like, she has no idea the repercussions of this. She has no idea that this is going to follow Margot for the rest of Bodhi's life. Yeah. Anytime that anything happens, they're going to refer back and know that there was a Child Protective Services was involved. And instead, she's just like, oh, they're not going to take him away because you're giving up OnlyFans, so no problem. And Margo's like, that's not the way it fucking works.
It's not
like,
the way it works.
It's an investigation. They're not just going to close it because you decided mm-hmm. you changed your mind about calling. That's not the way it works.
That's not how it works. So, of course, Margo is livid and disappointed that Cheyenne went along with this plan. And she's like, stay the fuck out of my life. And I was like, good
she
for you.
She does not do enough.
Oh,
she does not do enough. No, I know. I would have absolutely lost my shit.
But again, when you look at Margot's temperament and who she is as like a person, like, I'm not surprised that her reaction was kind of tame compared to mm-hmm. what it should have been. But the fact that she was strong enough to even say, like, stay out of my life, like, that was a big thing for her because mm-hmm. she is very much a people pleaser.
Yep.
And wants to make her mom happy and kind of mold herself into what her mom wants her to be. And even when just talking to her, like, she's very acutely aware of what she's saying, how she's saying it, because mm-hmm. that's what her mom taught her.
And she gives her mom so much credit that mm-hmm. she doesn't deserve. Like, every time her mom says something horrible, Margo's like, oh, well, she probably doesn't really mean that. And I know that she loves me, even though she does these horrible things. Like, she just,
yeah.
she's an apologist for her mom. And it's, oh, yeah. I get why, but I hate it.
Uh-huh. However, the pendulum does swing back into Margot's good graces, and she receives a report from her evaluation, which asserts that Margot's parenting approach and setup is optimal for Bodhi. And I love this cute little wholesome moment where Margot's finally feeling validated,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, this woman thinks that I'm optimal, like mm-hmm. I'm an optimal mother, and I'm like... You know, that has to feel so good because, again, she has no reference, no point of reference of what the fuck she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one around her building her up, telling her what a great job she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Every 5 minutes, she's doubting herself.
Exactly. And she has these situations where now, you know, she has the fear that she's going to lose custody of her son. She gets the CPS visit, and the CPS worker is a total bitch to her and isn't even like... And, who's also, like, pregnant
mm-hmm.
and has, like, no remorse or any kind of sympathy towards Margot and her situation.
She's so judgmental and, like, yeah. Well, I'm going to be a great mother. Which blah, I feel blah, like blah.
Being judgmental, then you shouldn't be in the CPS world because mm-hmm. you have to be able to
deal with so many things. Yeah.
So that obviously she pissed me off. She's the other villain of the story. Margot decides... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. Also, I really liked that the author, because... Margot reads the whole couple paragraphs that the evaluation said yeah. about her parenting. So I really like that the author, it felt like a real evaluation. Yeah. Like, yes, she was an optimal parent, but she struggles with this and this, which is normal for her age, mm-hmm. but she's great at this. Like, it wasn't just all rainbows and butterflies, which a lot of books would have it be.
Yeah. And perfect. She also justifies her career choice. Yes. And she's like, only there's nothing wrong with it. Like, she's making amazing money
mm-hmm.
for her future, for her son. So I don't see what the big deal is.
Like, obviously, Dr. Sharp is for the girls.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And she even says in there, you know, like, Margot has to make sure that she keeps this balance since her work takes a lot of time and blah, blah, blah. But if she continues the way she is, everything is going to be great and she's doing amazing and mm-hmm. Mark can fuck off.
Exactly. 100%. Margot decides not to quit OnlyFans.
Yay.
Woo! And confronts Mark, who confesses that he changed his mind after reading the report, and he admits that he did pay to see the content that Margot was posting, which, not fucking surprised.
So
whatsoever.
Funny.
And love he, it. Like, praises her for her creativity. He's like, Margot, he's like, you're like, that was like a, like the story you're putting out there, like, you can't give that up. Like, you mm-hmm. have to keep going with that.
And this had to have been a really hard moment for Mark because he really thought that she was just mm-hmm. a big dum-dum.
Yeah.
And that she wasn't capable everyone of anything.
Everyone doubts her and mm-hmm. who she is.
And
Dr.
I
Sharp
love
is
that...
the only one who's like, nah. Mm-hmm.
And Jinx.
Yeah, of course.
But I love that from the beginning, she's like, oh, I'm just like quirky and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she does the OnlyFans and does all the TikToks, she just... uses her quirkiness and mm-hmm. weirdness, and she's like, someone will love this.
And they do. Because
and they
of
do.
Course, because there's so many quirky people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you put out into the universe content-wise, someone's going to love it.
100%.
You're going to find someone that's going to like your niche, like, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of her lawyer, Margot manages to put a stop to the CPS investigation by threatening to press charges as Maribel entered their house under false pretenses the first time, pretending that she had the authority to take Bodhi away. And this whole scene was phenomenal. Like, she read Maribel for filth. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, look at all this case law of, you know, women doing sex work. And they were able to keep their children. She was like, you know, just because OnlyFans is a new platform doesn't mean that, like, I shouldn't be able to keep my child.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And she has her 3-inch thick binder, mm-hmm, with a table of contents and every information she could ever want. Mm-hmm. And Maribel is like, oh, fuck. I'm going to get in big trouble if, yep, someone finds out what I did.
I guess I'll leave. JB ends up coming back into town with a business proposal, and he doesn't think that they should date at the moment, but he doesn't want to waste the connection that they share. He suggests that they combine his machine learning background with her writing skills to start a company that helps content creator on OnlyFans grow their business, which was what a great way to end this book.
The best ending. I did not know how this was going to end.
No.
The
ending was literally perfect. And it's just her and JB, like, shooting ideas back and forth. And Margot, it was really a beautiful ending, because Margot contemplates how art is ultimately about its creator trying to get an audience to fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, what it is. And now Margot's, like, discovering who she is now.
Mm-hmm. And she's realizing how talented she is, mm-hmm, and sorry, there's a lot going on over here, obviously. She's realizing how talented she is and how amazing she can do if she just puts her mind to it. And their whole consulting business idea is like, let's empower other women and make sure that they can make a living off of this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I highlighted the quote, the last quote in the book. It was, because that's all art is in the end. One person trying to get another person they have never met to fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
Poetic.
I love it.
Beautifully poetic. I also saved this one quote that was just about, like, motherhood and, like, being, mm-hmm, a mom, that I posted about it on my social media, because I actually read it and I actually started crying,
mm-hmm,
because I was like, this is so, so beautiful. So Margot says, it's like falling in love, I said, though maybe that sounded even more insane. It's the biggest love you'll ever experience, and it will change everything about you. At times you will think your whole life is ruined, but you know you wouldn't change any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sobbing. Just, mm-hmm, sobbing. Just sobbing.
And it's just so, so powerful, because no matter how much she struggled, no matter how many horrible roadblocks got in her way, she never once second-guessed her decision.
Mm-hmm.
She second-guessed it in the way of, like, I hope I'm not fucking Bodhi up, but she never regretted having him. She never regretted being a mom.
No, and it's like, and honestly, it's the moms that fear that they're fucking up that are actually the ones that are the best moms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like this insightfulness, both those quotes, from, a 19-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that Margot is written is so unexpected,
mm-hmm,
but still believable. I'm not, like, it's believable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it wasn't too far-fetched that this could be a real 19-year-old's life.
Yeah, because she does face so many challenges, and she does overcome so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like so realistic of every time something's going great, then bad things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that she thinks she's in control, some wrench gets thrown into the plan, and she's just taking it all as it comes and, mm-hmm, doing her absolute best.
Which is so ironic, because both her parents suck, like, mm-hmm, in different ways. Jinx was kind of an absentee father because he had a whole other family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he slept with Cheyenne, got Cheyenne knocked up but was still around. Like, mm-hmm. he wasn't a completely, you know, deadbeat dad, but he has a whole other family and a whole other career that causes him to be overseas.
Traveling all the time. And it sounds like his wife didn't want him to have any relationship with Cheyenne or with Margo.
No. And then the fact, though, that he steps up in such a big way when Margo actually truly needed him the most, mm-hmm. which you would think in that scenario that Cheyenne would be the one that would step up. Mm-hmm. But, like, she does the exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
And so it was really emotional in a good way that this connection came out of between Jinx and Margo was able mm-hmm. to be created. And now, like, Jinx is going to be a fixture in her life mm-hmm. for the rest of it. And he's such a good grandpa to Bodhi.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Cheyenne has nothing to do with the family. Like, she makes no effort to try to see Bodhi. Mm-hmm. She's marrying this dude because she thinks that that's the life that will make her better. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. And she's so submissive and judgmental about her daughter's choices. And it is no help whatsoever. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, but again, like, you see the, kind of like what you brought up, you see that Margo does make excuses for her mom mm-hmm. and kind of forgives her way too easily.
Yeah. But that's also what allows her to get so close to Jinx, because she mm-hmm. doesn't hold his past against mm-hmm. him. She doesn't hold their relationship against him. And she just, you know, takes every day for what it is. She's like, well, now we're getting closer. And I loved their relationship. I loved how they really empowered each other. Mm-hmm. And Jinx really did care about her so much and care about Bodhi. And she would have moments where she's like, oh, this is so weird to be talking with mm-hmm. my dad about this. But then in the everyday moments, like, she knew how much he cared, how much he supported her, how much she could rely on him. Mm-hmm. It was just,
She had someone in her corner, at least, like, mm-hmm. and like the most unexpected person, mm-hmm. you know, she never would in a million years think that it would be her dad who would be the mm-hmm. one that's, like, her biggest supporter in all aspects.
I also love her relationship with Susie.
Oh, I know. I didn't really talk much about Susie because otherwise I have to cut some shit out. Otherwise,
we'll it was a big hours. Part, but it didn't affect the story.
No, and it was,
but it was so sweet because Margo thought that she was this big, like, outcast mm-hmm. and she could never really understand Susie. And then when she finally sits down and is like, what do you want from this relationship? And Susie's like, I want to be a part of it. I want to be involved. I want to help. I want to be a part of this little misfit family that you've put together. Mm-hmm. And it's so cute.
I know. Yeah, their friendship was kind of an unexpected mm-hmm. little surprise. That was really nice. So obviously the book tackles the stigma around sex work and online content creation. So the one question that I had found was, how does Margot's journey challenge or reinforce your own perspectives on these topics?
I mean, I already was supportive of sex work and OnlyFans and all this stuff. I think it changed my perspective in just the amount of work and the amount of time mm-hmm. that it takes. I mean, yes, they're making so much money, but the amount of time we're putting in, like, this isn't a 9-to-5 job. They're working so many hours. They're putting in so much effort. And I'm glad that they're getting paid for that. And mm-hmm. I just think it's a really cool thing that these women can express themselves in their own way. And like I said before, be in control of their narrative. They're doing this sexual content, which, you know, is just so some creepy dudes can jerk off, but they're in control of how that is being put out, how mm-hmm. their bodies are being put out, all of this. Like, they're really in control of what's being shown and released and all of that. And I just love that it can become a normalized thing.
Yeah.
And the only way it will is for more people to talk about it and for more people to understand it, because what Mark said is probably happens every single day. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I just thought that you were doing porn, which, like, nothing wrong with fucking doing porn, but whatever. No. Oh, I just thought you were doing porn. I didn't want the mother of my child doing porn on the internet. And then I realized, oh no, you're actually creating all of this. Like, this is actually mm-hmm. a profession. This is not just you taking pictures of your boobs and calling it a day. No.
And like what you said, like content creation, I've seen so many, you know, content creators on TikTok talk about how creating the content is so much more than 9-to-5 job. Like mm-hmm. it's exhausting. Like you have, like, you know, you have to like schedule it out, and it's a 24-hour thing. Like, it's not just, oh, this was easy, I made a video today. Like, no, especially the people that go through and do so much editing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many content creators that I follow that the editing is, couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've specifically heard from people who don't think that TikTok is a real job and don't think yeah. that people should be profiting off of it, or mm-hmm. think that it's just, you know, young kids dancing on the internet and then getting millions of dollars. And we know that that's not what it is at all. Like, there's so many different aspects. There's so many people who share all of this important information. Like, it's just, it's so much bigger. OnlyFans is so much bigger than just porn. TikTok is so much bigger than just social media. Like, the point is that people are so fucking judgmental of things that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And anything where women are more successful than men is always going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a fucking problem. Mm-hmm. And especially anything involving sex, because there's just this horrible stigma that men can go around, do whatever the fuck they want. They can sleep with as many people as they want. They can treat women like shit, whatever, and no one bats an eye. But if mm-hmm. a woman sleeps with too many people, then all of a sudden mm-hmm. she's used goods, and she's, you know, no one wants to be with her anymore. And so the fact that women could be doing this in their own way, making money off of it, making it into a job, of course society's not going to be okay with that. God, it makes me so mad. It makes me want to make OnlyFans, but I don't have the time.
Like, you know, the internet culture that is described in this novel, like, it's, but it's just, it's so prevalent. Mm-hmm. And social media is so prevalent in our lives. And it's how the news is generated. Like, social media has changed so much for so many people. And I understand that it's kind of a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a double-edged sword, because there's so many negative things to internet culture and social media, but there is so many positive things. Mm-hmm. Like, I recently, about a week, maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, there was this TikTok that showed up on my page about this mother and son who went to a diner, and there was like an 87-year-old woman who was still waitressing. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I have to keep waitressing because I don't have a retirement, you know, and so I can't really retire. My social security is not much, you know, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I've been doing this since I've been 20. And so then this woman just makes this video about it on mm-hmm. TikTok, and the internet immediately rises up, and they raise like over $250,000 for this. Mm-hmm. None of these people have met this woman on the internet, but they're so inspired by her story. Mm-hmm. So like the GoFundMes, like, they're just really inspiring things. So while there is so much negative shit out there and uneducated people and internet trolls who have nothing better to do than just negatively knock women, everyone down, mm-hmm. you have these like inspirational stories and all these other people who are just putting out content that makes them happy, and they're profiting off of it. And it's like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and why not?
So many people don't understand how dangerous these jobs are with the doxing and mm-hmm. with the, especially these female creators who can have stalking issues, yeah. who can have people mm-hmm. coming to their house, who can have like people who think that they know them because they mm-hmm. see them on the internet.
Exactly.
And it's like, so they're putting their safety at risk the same as a celebrity does, or the same as, mm-hmm. you know, all of these famous people do. And they're just trying to make a living.
I know. And it's like, you can't judge a person for doing, unless it's like harming themselves or harming mm-hmm. another person, you shouldn't judge people for like what they put out on the mm-hmm. internet, you know, because like I'm obviously heavily on the mom side of TikTok. Mm-hmm. That's all my TikTok feed is. My algorithm is moms. And like, and it's just so like, it's sad to see moms out there that are so afraid to like put things out there because they're like afraid they're going to be judged, or they don't mm-hmm. think that their lives are exciting enough to be posting about, when realistically you see so much of people, especially on TikTok, love the realness of people and they love people's stories. Mm-hmm. Like Instagram is definitely more heavily product pushed and like fake worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And people
a curated
are also,
world, yeah.
And people are also a hell of a lot meaner on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on TikTok, it's more about being your true self and just making a story, making a video about what you did for the day and mm-hmm. getting like 100 people commenting, being like, oh, like, looks like you had a great day. Like, mm-hmm. like that's literally, and that's why, like, TikTok is a really important social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, also because, yeah, we can talk about all of the dangers and problems with the algorithm and with the mm-hmm. tracking and all that stuff. But that is why TikTok feels like a safer place, because
yeah.
the people who are seeing videos that are curated for them that mm-hmm. are things that they want to see. So you have less of those hateful comments. You
yeah.
have less of those trolls.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously some of the trolls search it out, but
and like,
have
this is just,
less of that.
This is just the world that we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what the world has become. And you know, until like internet goes away and this is just what it's going to be. And this is how people are making their money as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. because internet and social media is so goddamn profitable when you can get mm-hmm. it to work in your favor.
And it's also just such a crazy time right now because people are getting so much more comfortable being mm-hmm. horrible and bigoted mm-hmm. and close-minded
and
outspoken about it.
That's how it's going to be for the next 4 years.
Maybe
and
longer
anymore, of course, but it's gonna be because
you know he might just never leave.
He's just gonna stay. He's gonna do a third term. Well, actually, from what
a
I read,
fourth
from,
term
it'll
Heather.
Be a fourth term, fourth term, because you know the 2020 election was rigged.
Of course, so. Of course, yeah.
So mm-hmm. you know,
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Anywho's,
anyways, anything else that I missed that we need to touch on?
No, I think we got it all.
I really recommend this book, like 100%. Like mm-hmm. it's a really good book. There's so many little side things that I didn't get into that were pivotal in the book, but not enough to like really take away from the story. So shall I get to the rating system?
Let's do it.
All right. So tell me, Kelsey, out of 5 Arby's beef and cheddar sandwiches, what did we give this?
Amazing.
What did
That's
we give this
one.
Story?
Margot
loves Arby's. That's maybe the biggest thing I should have brought up is that
she loves Arby's,
obsessed with Arby's, which is
and
so
she
funny
loves to eat, which is so relatable.
Yeah. Oh, I love that too. Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't get a beef and cheese. I would get the curly fries though.
Yeah.
The first time I read it, I gave it a 4.5. On the reread, I was closer to a 5. The reason I don't think I can give it a 5 is because there's a lot of jumping back and forth between tenses.
Mm-hmm.
And the author kind of jumps around and will
yeah.
kind of pull you out of the story and be like, well, when you're telling a good story, you have to do this. And it kind of, the story is so good on its own that you mm-hmm. don't need that.
She didn't need to do that at all.
Yeah. Like I could understand because some books do need that to kind of keep mm-hmm. you interested, but there was so much else going mm-hmm. on. You didn't need it. And I also felt like in the beginning, it was just kind of disjointed because they're kind of going back and forth between like Bodhi's born and then going back to the affair and Bodhi's born. But
yeah.
it's not dual timelines. It's just kind of messy.
I know. I'll like admit when I started the book, I didn't think that I didn't like how it was written.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little worried about how I would get through it. But then all of a sudden it hit this stride very early on. It
mm-hmm.
hit this stride. I want to say probably as soon as Jinx appeared.
Yeah, it's only the first couple chapters.
And then I was like, I flew through it.
Mm-hmm.
I like couldn't put it down. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, like this is such a good book.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree. And that's kind of like why like I also gave it 4 out of 5 beef and cheddar sandwiches. Because it took me a minute to get into
mm-hmm.
it. And But the writing was phenomenal. I will be reading her other books. Mm-hmm. So I saw someone recently post about The Knockout Queen. Was that you that had posted something that someone had recently read, The Knockout Queen?
I don't remember.
And then, which was like a boxing move, a book.
Oh, yes, that, yes.
So I saw that. So like, I want to read that, and I want to read her other books. She doesn't have anything else coming out. I don't think she's written anything else right now. But, and I just love how quirky she is. Like, I love a quirky woman writing these stories.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't need to be, like, it doesn't need to be like a thriller or a romance. It can just be like this quirky, fun story. And it's very refreshing. A nice palate cleanser, I would say.
Yes. And you good never knew where it was going. Like, the fact that Jinx comes in and he has this whole story. They go into his wrestling career and them watching wrestling. And then Susie is into, like, LARPing and cosplay. Mm-hmm. And then the OnlyFans girls, the scenes with them are amazing. Oh, they're so funny. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it just goes in all these different directions and it's so fun to read, but it does still have those like hard hitting, you know, this is about CPS and this is about drug addiction and this is about really horrible things. And you have this just amazing story of feminism and Margot not fighting for feminism, but in her own way saying like, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I know why you're looking down on me and I'm not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it's so powerful. It's so inspiring. You know what I mean? Like, and then you look back on it and it's just a funny story.
I honestly, like, I was so surprised how much I loved it. Like, I was, and I was already like happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's not a book that I would normally pick up. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I did.
I know. I am too. Cause I wouldn't, I don't think I would have read this if you didn't like it so much. I don't think
so either.
And so I'm very glad. Thanks, Kelsey. a book you recommended to me that I loved.
Finally. Finally. The only other one has been September House.
Oh, that was a good one.
Oh man.
That was a really good one. We're getting there. It's fine. We're taking turns.
Listen, the fact that the ones that you liked so much.
Oh, I know.
That makes up for it.
Exactly. All right. I think that's all we have for you today. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen on. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcalfpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at fullybookedcalfpod to see our upcoming reads. Thanks for checking us out. And remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked.
Goodbye.
Bye.